We spoke together in this sort of context about vision. We worked it out. It was June 2017, and it was sort of 3 years on from when we sort of launched this phase of vision that we're in as a church back in November 2013. Sue knows the dates really well. So if you've been with us since November 2013, which some of you in this room have, others have connected into us during that period, we're on this direction of vision and the way that we're seeking to do church. And our vision is over here on one of the banners, to bring healing, wholeness and freedom to broken lives and communities as we expect great things from God and attempt great things with God. And we've sought to do that. Those of you who've been with us over this period, we've been seeking to do that. We've been seeking to be a group of believing believers, a group of people who are living life together on mission. And as it says on the slide, part of what we're about is to bring in Chester as it is in heaven. So we thought this morning we'd just recap and review where we are in the context of our gift day and our vision. And I know that's quite small, and some of you will have seen this, but we're working towards a dream that we have as a group of people, a dream where we're seriously good at making disciples, where we're a church that vividly reflects Jesus. And you can read more about this if you want to know more about it. Come and speak to me, and we've got some paperwork, we've got some information that we've produced over the last 5 years. But we wanted this morning to really focus in on where we're at, and so Sue is going to pick up at this point.
Hi, good morning everyone. As Andy said, those are the dates. So I'm going to try and paint a picture of what we sense God has been doing over the last 18 months. And anyone that knows me is, I love just trying to create and understand what God has been about. So most of you know I work in primary schools, and at the moment there is a big initiative in church schools to define their vision. And the vision's around three questions. Who are we? Why are we here? And how then do we live? And I thought, what amazing questions for HBC this morning. Who are we? What's our vision? What's our purpose? Why are we here? How then do we live? What impact are we making? And so we came up 18 months ago with five P's. Now, if I asked you to remember them, I don't know if you would. So we're going to recap this morning. The first one was the presence. And if you look around in our world at the moment, it's in a bit of turmoil, isn't it? It feels like we don't know who we are in the UK. We're not quite sure what our identity is. Politicians are resigning, not resigning, staying, not going. We're never quite sure what's going on. But there's a sense our nation has been shaken and it's been humbled. And then you think about the turmoil that affects our global partners over in China, Kevin and Emma. There's a lot going on. Can they stay? Will they stay? Not to mention the US and Russia as well. There's just too much to mention. When we started this year, every January, Andy and I asked God to give us a verse for the future of what we're doing at HBC. And this year, he gave us this verse from Galatians. Let us not become weary in doing good, because at the proper time, we will reap the harvest. And that's what we've been holding on to. And if we think about our city at this time, HBC has a big city heart. There's one church, there's one family under God. And if you look around in Chester at the moment, there has been a shaking going on. And it's really important that at this time we align ourselves with what God is doing. In September, our missional community met at Hull Lighthouse Centre, and we celebrated 50 years of the churches working together in Chester. And there was a 92-year-old man called Cyril, and he stood up and he told the story of how everyone was against him trying to bring churches together, but they'd fought for it in that generation 50 years ago. And I just think that's amazing that we're living in the fruit of what they fought for. Last Sunday was Remembrance Day. And Andy and I were privileged to walk from our church in Hull to the cenotaph on Hull Road. And as we're walking, Andy's got his dog collar on. Not many people have seen him in a dog collar. There was this sound of feet just marching. And I was just really struck and remembered what happened in June when we did Thy Kingdom Come initiative, when we had seven days of silent walking around the walls. And if you went on that, you could hear the sound of the footsteps. And it just reminds me of how much we need to march in time and in beat with the heart of God. So we're called in this moment to be present. And it's really easy not to be present. Andy and I, it's quite interesting. Sometimes Andy disappears in our house and he's not very present because he's on his technology. And I can be talking to him and it's not quite there. So I often say, are you present with me, love? There's a real sense in the UK that there is a revival coming. There's a transformation coming. And Adam's story isn't the only story of salvation in this church in the last 11 months. But are we going to be ready? Will we be ready for the awakening that's coming and the transformation? Because we have to be, whether we're in the supermarket, the school, or whatever. And that leads me nicely on to the next P. What's your position? Okay. What's your position? There's a great scripture in 2 Chronicles 20:17. And King of Judah, Jehoshaphat, is surrounded by the Moabites and the Ammonites, so that's how you say it, and he's quite a bit worried that they're going to get annihilated. So he goes to God, and God says to him, take up your position, for this is a battle you won't need to fight. This is a battle you won't need to fight. And as I was preparing this week, I just felt that's what God was saying to us. If we are positioned correctly, we won't have to fight the battle. We'll just see God do it. And I encourage you to read that story in 2 Chronicles 20, because at the end of it, God completely delivers the people of Israel. And the enemies start turning on each other and fighting one another. And when they arrive at the battlefield, it's over. There's no battle to be fought. And I just felt like that's what God was saying. And I feel like in HBC, in this city, and globally with our partners, God's been repositioning people. You know, that we said goodbye to the wars this year. We said goodbye to them as they went off to the Gulf. We said goodbye to Pete as he went off to Congo. The seers have been repositioned and they're on their way home. And Ali is about to be repositioned. Not long now, is it, Ali? And if you talk to Chezzy, he's over there. Give us a wave, Chezzy. God's been repositioning him and his heart for fathers in this nation. And he carries an amazing heart. Go and ask him what he's about. And Colin, we've been meeting with Colin. And wave, Colin, because I don't know if anybody knows who you are. God has been challenging him about revival that is coming. And he wants to draw the church together to pray. If you talk to Paul, God's been repositioning him this year in what's next and in our link with Storehouse. So it's really interesting just to paint a picture of what God's been up to. But technically, the most important position we should have is us as a child of God. The first thing that God said to Jesus when he started his ministry is, this is my beloved son. In him, I am well pleased. And the very next thing that happened after that baptism was the temptation of Jesus. And the first thing the enemy does, his first tactic, is trying to get you off guard in who you are. Really? Are you really that? Andy and I have been married this year 30 years. Yeah. Thank you. I think. Yeah, no. 30 years. But 30 years makes you really reflect on what it is you're investing in. So we've been praying a lot this year. What is it, God, that you're asking us to invest in? And he spoke to Andy in a dream this year and told him to invest in the younger generation. And so we've deliberately and intentionally tried to do that. And it's very interesting to ask yourself a question about this, which we'll come to in a minute. And we went on a weekend away that we led on the prophetic. And during that time, somebody who didn't know us came up to us and said to us, it's time in your ministry and in your church to hope again for healing. To hope again for healing and downloads from what God is going to do. And if you were here 2 weeks ago, I don't know if you were here 2 weeks ago, but Andy and I were blown away by our young people. We felt so proud, and they're not even our family, but they are our family. And we've been privileged this year to take part in Lydia Wright's wedding and Lucy Jones's wedding. And there's something amazing about doing that, because we realize what God is doing with the next generation. So we've deliberately gone after that, and it's a real privilege. Sam's not in the room, but Sam and Dave Tonks are carrying a vision to see a stadium full of people, Christians and non-Christians, coming into an atmosphere of the Holy Spirit, revival, if that's what you call it, transformation, if that's what you want to call it. But they're stepping out in faith. That's exciting. So my question is, who are you fathering and mothering? Who are you fathering and mothering? And who are you a son and daughter to? One of the things that Andy and I did over half term was go down to Nottingham to say goodbye to a spiritual mum who is very ill. And we had a bit of an interesting time, because Andy thought it'd be really nice to have a night away. And he booked us into this hotel. And when we arrived, it was the paranormal conference going on. Turned out to be, allegedly, the most haunted building in Nottinghamshire. I said, God, are you having a laugh? What's going on here? But you know what? I just remembered who God says we are. We don't have to fight the battle. The battle's already been won. Sorry? You did, yes. I was praying a lot. Anyway, Jesus in John 17, his last prayer for us as his disciples was, Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you've sent me, and I've made you known to them. And I pray that they will continue to make you known, in order that the love that you have for me may be in them, and I may be in them. What an amazing prayer, the heart of Jesus for us. So how do we do that? Well, we have to embrace the Father continually, and we need to let him heal our hearts. We've just heard this amazing story about Ruth, and my mum's got cancer at the moment, and just like Ruth, she was given a death sentence. And it was, and is, one of the most difficult things. But in it, I've really seen God at work. And we prayed over, Healing Rooms prayed over a hanky for us. And Mum has it next to her in a chair. And when I go, and she puts it on her knee, and I pray with her, and the presence of God is so strong. And I think in any of these situations, our choice is, do I react or do I respond? Do I react or do I respond? Do I respond to what God is saying in every situation? One of the things we do in our church is Sozo or healing rooms or prayer ministry or iPod groups or discipleship groups. The whole point is to help us to respond to what God is saying. So my question to you is, where are you positioned right now? The third P, and I'm sure I'm going on too long, Andy's looking at his watch, is presence. We value the presence of God. Yesterday we were in Tesco, and a young man came up to us to give us a free sample of hot chocolate. And I just felt I should talk to him, and I should stand there. And he was called Sam, and I love it when God interrupts your shopping. And Andy's away shopping, and I'm standing talking to this young man. And it turned out this young man was a Christian, and he got a real vision from God, and he was earning a bit of extra money giving out little cups of hot chocolate in Tesco. But it was really good to be able to talk to him about how God was working in his life. And I really think if we truly believe how good God is, then we'll want to host his presence and see the impossible happen and expect the unexpected. In January this year, as leaders in our leadership team, we declare baptism Sundays. And we said by faith that on every Sunday we set aside in 2018, there'll be somebody to baptize. And so far, apart from one, there has always been somebody, more than one in some cases, to be baptized. 2 weeks ago, Ed challenged us to go deeper with God. And he challenged people, if you don't know God, will you make a response? And several people did that. These are just the first fruits. We've seen Adam baptized, Lily baptized, Lucy baptized, and Rick baptized this year. It's been really exciting, but this is just the beginning. But we have to manage our own hearts in this and to keep making choices for God. And it's hard sometimes. It's hard. And one of the things that I think about a lot is if we let disappointment get to us, if we let frustration, and I'm guilty as the rest of us, we miss that appointment with the presence of God working in and through us. One of the mantras that Andy and I have nicked from Bill Johnson, it's four statements. God is good. We are significant. Jesus done it all on the cross, so nothing is impossible. So our question to you is, will you dare to be more intentional about hosting the presence of God? The fourth P is the prophetic. And this is an interesting one. If you know me, I love the prophetic. When I first became a Christian, one of the things that struck me was that God, who made the world, wanted to talk to me. And that blew me away. He cared about me so much that he wanted to talk to me. But we have to be really intentional about the prophetic, else it gets lost. And I spend a lot of time tracking what God's doing through words that come. You know, you might see me with my clipboard on a Sunday. And sometimes I ask God, is this for the church or is this for individuals? But I think it's really important that we keep writing it down. Andy spoke about being naturally supernatural. We have to press into it. This picture over here was a prophetic picture that Chris Duffett painted for us. Chris is a big friend of our church. And I've been reading what people have been saying about it. And one of the things that's been written is this is about together as a church, sailing into the unknown and expecting God to show us the next horizon. We're on an adventure. But we can all hear God's voice and we can all ask him the question, what does he want us to do and what are we going to do about it? I'm really privileged in this church. There's a lot of people who can hear God. And we have to be humble enough to keep testing that because everything we hear won't be right. And we have to also be humble enough to give feedback sometimes when we get it wrong. And the scriptures we feel God has given us prophetically is Isaiah 54, extend your tents, spread out to the left and to the right. Isaiah 61, the spirit of the sovereign Lord is on me. I was reading a commentary recently on Isaiah 61 and I didn't realize, but that was all about the year of Jubilee. And if you remember, Andy and I were picked out of a group of 400 people in 2016. And God wanted to tell us there was going to be a year of Jubilee in our midst. Last summer, somebody came up to us at a conference we were at in Harrogate. And they gave us this picture. I see a picture of a path going into the distance. And you feel like you're going back to where you started. But actually, this path is even more glorious than before. Now, there's a lot in that word, I think, going back to where we started. We got given another one by Liz Gregg, who did the Sozo weekend with us in April. And she says, as leaders, if we keep leading and pioneering with God, we will see people following. And when we turn around, we'll be amazed at what God is doing. But we realize that our degree of authority is only equal to the degree of submission that we have with ourselves and with God and with one another. So we're always asking God to give us grace. And that means we're always learning. And that means we've always got to take feedback. Last week, Hazel came round and she knocked on my door with a bunch of keys. And you'll notice there are four keys here. And I said to Hazel, why have you brought those round? She says, I don't know. I just feel God says I've got to give them to you. So I know Hazel well enough that when she does something like that prophetically, God's got something to say. So last Monday, when we had our second of our prayer evenings for our future vision, I took those keys and I put them down on the floor. And I didn't say anything about them. I just put them down on the floor and we were worshipping and we were praying. And it was quite a challenging meeting for me to lead, partly because I wasn't feeling very well, but partly because there was so much going on. And so we had people seeing angels over here and we had people praying for finances over here. It was quite amazing. But in the midst of that, Hazel saw some angels, Kay saw some angels, and God started speaking to us. And there were particularly four angels, which I thought was interesting. And we linked them to the four keys. And they felt that God was sending us an angel of healing, an angel of battle, an angel of justice, and an angel of freedom. And it says in Psalm 9 that God commands the angels concerning us. And if you read the Christmas story, angels are all over the place at work. And sometimes we're not remembering really that we're surrounded by that great cloud of witnesses. Hebrews 12 says, we come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to thousands and thousands upon angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. We have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. And if you go on in that passage, it talks about making sure we can hear him. Don't refuse him who speaks. It talks about the heavens and the earth being shaken. And it talks about us receiving a kingdom that can't be shaken. And it talks about being thankful and worshipping. So my challenge is, our God's a consuming fire. What's he saying to you? And what are you doing about it today? And on to the final P, because I've probably gone over time. We're right in the middle of an exciting season. And in the last 18 months, God's put this new church building in our orbit. And we didn't expect that. And Sue Alferson a few years ago felt that God said to her, when we next have a building that will eventually become a home, we don't need to look for it. God will bring it. And that's exactly what's happened with this new church. And the leadership team prayed with the lady in the garden of this place when we went first to visit it. And we really felt like God was saying, this is right. All of us were just amazed by God's presence. Ephesians 3 says, abundantly more than you can ask or imagine, according to the power that's at work in you. And that means that we have to exercise our faith. Because it's only abundant and it's only real according to the power that's at work in us. So as a leadership team, we are trying to take a risk. We're trying to step out in faith. And if you were with us in April 18 when we sent the budget, we really felt like God was saying, declare who I am and what I've asked you to do, and I will do the rest. Expect those great things. And then we had our count, our blessings, count the cost, count me in challenge. And God was just incredible. For Andy and I, some of you know that we've built a house extension this year. What you don't know and what we haven't talked about is how God provided for that. If you want to know that story, I'll tell you another time. But basically, I asked God for more financial provision to do something than I've ever asked in my life. And I saw it happen. And 1 Corinthians 15 talks about first the natural and then the spiritual. So I started praying that if God could do that with our house, what was he going to do for our church? So what we're trying to do is create this culture of atmosphere, risk and faith, of heaven coming to earth, of family, of the prophetic and of the supernatural. In Liverpool, 2016, Andy went to a conference and he ended up sitting on the front row by accident. And a guy came up to him and he said, I feel like you've got a bowl in your hands. And it's a bowl of resources for the vision that God has asked you to do. And every time you hold this bowl before me, I will fill it. And so that's a word as a leadership team we keep going back to and we keep asking God to do. So in that sense of adventure, and if you feel God is saying anything else about this picture, please do tell us. In this sense of risk and faith, my question is, what are you stewarding that God wants you to use? How are you stewarding his provision? Thank you.
So Sue has really helpfully just given us a bit of a recap of some of the things that we have been tracking and praying into over the last 18 months. And we've got to this moment, November 2018. And many of you will have hopefully had a chance to have read this and seen this. It was sent out and was available a couple of Sundays ago. If you'd like to see, we've got some more copies of this. Because we're at this stage now where, as you'll know, we feel like God has given us such a heart as a church for our city. And that includes Hull, and it includes the journey that we've been on over these last few years, where we have the building, the Lighthouse Centre in Hull, and we continue to be committed to that building. We can continue to invest in it. If you've been to the Lighthouse Centre recently, you know that we've just put in a new fire door because of the problems that we're having with some damp, and the door needed replacing, and we've got a vision to do some more investment into the Lighthouse Centre. But at the same time, we feel like God is saying to us that we need mission bases, places around the city where we can have a building, a tool that will enable mission to happen around the city. And this building has come up, as you know, some of you will know the journey. You'll know that it's just over 18 months, just over 12 months ago, where we got into conversation with the church, the new church, about the building and the land. And the first conversation that we had with them was that that they were going to sell it for development, and if we were interested in the land, it was going to cost us $450,000. And we were like, okay, I don't think that's going to happen then. That's just to buy the site and the building. But that local church and congregation didn't really want the building to be used in that way. They wanted to keep the land. They wanted to keep the building. And there was a lot of community use that was going on in that building already. And so they did a load of research themselves as a church. And in their research, they discovered that there was restricted covenants on the land, which meant that the only buildings that can be built on that land was a church or Sunday school buildings. And as a result of that, they went back and renegotiated the price and came back to us and said that we could have the building and the land for $87,500. And we were like, wow. Do you remember that conversation we've had? If you've been in church meetings over the last few months, you'll know the bit of the story. And I loved the one of the evenings we were all together in one of the church meetings, and we were praying about it and saying, Lord, is this an opportunity for us to buy the site, both in terms of a mission base to reach? And that's what's come out in the praying, is that we've got a brand new mission field as a church. We've got an area of Chester that has no viable, visible fellowship witness to the gospel. So there's a challenge to us. It's like, who's going to get behind that? Who's going to get behind that in the initial few years to say, how can we reach, I don't know, maybe a couple of thousand people or more who live in and around Dixon's Drive and all around that area? But also, how can we then develop? And you can see that we want to develop the land. We want to develop the building. And that's a longer-term vision. So you'll see we wrote here that we've got an opportunity to purchase a building with a new mission field, a building that will serve as another mission base in the city, a building that will serve that local community. So we want to use it Monday to Saturday as much as on the Sunday as well. So we've got potential for that straight away from day one. We can start to do that. Once we've purchased it and then invested some work into it, we can start using that building. But we do have a vision as well to develop it, to hopefully develop it and extend it so that we could have it as part of our Sunday morning home, as it were. So we've been here. We've been at the City Mission. We've been at the campus down on Riverside. We're in a situation where there are so many of us that there are times where we want to be together. Because we want to be together. we want to be gathered, and there's times when we want to be scattered. So that's the model that we have as church. We have gathered times and we have scattered times. Next Sunday is a scattered time. It's a time when you are out. Some of you are in missional communities and you're reaching people that you've got a vision for. Some of you are doing that in a more organized way. I know some of you are doing that in a very organic way and just using that fourth Sunday to do stuff with friends and with neighbors. But it's intentional about being on mission, family together. So this vision is an opportunity for us to invest and to take this step. It will change, I think, the direction over the next 3 to 5 years. It doesn't mean, and I want to say this, and we're praying into this, but right now that doesn't mean that we're going to get rid of the Lighthouse Center right now. Our hope would be, if we can manage it and pray into it, that we would have mission bases. Because there's a community in Hool that we want to connect to and reach as part of this vision, part of this gathered and scattered. So don't hear anything like that. It's about a big vision. It's about the whole city. It's about us playing our part with other churches as well because of who we are and what we're about. Even in these last 12 months, we've had opportunities, and we've got other opportunities where we can partner with other churches. The Storehouse, I think, is the first of other opportunities where we will partner with other churches for the sake of mission and kingdom around this region. So that's what we're about. What we want to do now is give you opportunity to give. Some of you will have come prepared for that. Some of you maybe not have been aware of it. That's okay. This is like the first wave. Like I say, if we just stick up that slide again, that's a picture actually of the building that as it presently stands. So once we've got enough money and we can make the purchase, we will have an opportunity to go and visit it. Obviously, we can't go and visit until we're in that formal process of purchasing it. But let's take this offering. Let's take this moment to sow into this. Like I say, you can transfer money as well when you get home. But make sure that you fill in the forms that you've got in terms of gift aid so we can track that. It would really help Fran in the office to know how this gift day works. And also, there's other envelopes that are blank that if you're not a taxpayer, you can use. So let's do that. If the worship team guys could come up as well at this point. And what we'll do is we'll give you a few moments just to write anything up. If you need to write it, write an envelope if you need to write it. And then we'll sing. We'll start to worship again. We're going to go into another time of worship. And out of that, we're going to take communion as well as a time of just committing ourselves around that meal. I'll shut up.
Should we stand?